Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Jeff Davis, and it has been my tremendous honor this year to be mentor to Carissa Berry Moylanen. That's her. Now I'd like to introduce her as she reads her credo.
Writing this credo was extremely hard. I really couldn't pinpoint exactly what I believe in. I believe in love. I believe in hope. I believe that people can be whatever they want to be. I think that those are the most important values in my life. I don't really know exactly what I believe, but in this congregation, I think that's okay. My mentor Jeff once told me, "You never hear about a recovering Unitarian Universalist." I've thought about that a lot, and I think that it's because in this church, you can be whoever you want to be, love whoever you want to love, believe whatever you want to believe, and still feel connected. That's something I always feel when I'm in church, connected. In coming of age, we did a meditation session. I took a lot out of that meditation. I still can't tell specifically how that affected me, but I know that it did. I felt something, peace, serenity, a connection. Whether it's to the people around me or to the mystery we call God, I don't know. I'm assuming that many people think about God when they think about their beliefs. I still haven't been able to figure that word out. I couldn't tell you what my thoughts are about God. I just don't know. I believe that people have created this world. I believe that people have made it what it is today. I believe that people shape people, the good and the bad in them. We hear all the time about bad people doing bad things, but I don't believe that someone can be totally bad. I believe that people can do bad things. I believe that people can make bad decisions, but I believe that all people have some elements of good in them. I'm a teenage girl in middle school with two moms and strong opinions. Yeah, I've experienced discrimination. But that's how I see who people truly are. If they choose to go out of their way to hurt others, that doesn't mean that they're a bad person. It just means that they're not the kind of person that I want to be around. I'm not totally sure I believe in the power of God, but I definitely know I believe in the power of people.
Good morning. I'm Gary Leonard, and I'd like to introduce David Green. I've been his mentor for this year, and it was an absolute pleasure. David is from Natick. He's a ninth grader that likes sports, and as you'll hear, music.
Passion is a strong thing. Being passionate about something is being so close to something that it means more to you than anyone else or anything else. I'm passionate about music. Music is so much more to me than just notes. It really makes me feel. Music provides a state of peace and comfort and relaxation. Now, I listen to and play a lot of metal and heavy rock. You may ask, how is metal comforting and relaxing? The answer is that it really isn't. It just makes everything else seem so much more soft and peaceful. For example, I can listen to a song like Psychosocial, which is a metal song. Then I have to listen to a song like The Sounds of Silence, and the song after sounds so much more nicer and relaxing. Now, relaxation isn't the only thing that music means to me, though. It also can give you self-expression, not just when you make music, but also when you listen to it. When someone makes music, they aren't just putting notes on paper and following music theory, but creating and expressing their emotions. They can also be trying to send out a message to their listener. A really good example of a band sending out a strong message is Rage Against the Machine. They made music that would protest the government and the military and talk about activism. Music can be used to get people who may not usually be involved in something more involved because they can get them in a way that they want to hear it. Music is very strong. Some people may say that the best and most beautiful music could be the voice of God. Now, for someone who believes in a God, I can see where that comes from. Music can be really beautiful. Now, I don't believe in God, so I don't exactly have the same ideas about music. I feel like everyone has an inner spirit, though. This spirit makes up parts of you, like your personality, and is shown through your actions and emotions. It is in every idea and creation that you have. Everyone is connected by these spirits. And when someone hears music, they may have a stronger connection to the feelings and emotions that are being sent out through the music. And the connections between the creator and the listener become stronger. This is what draws different people together, similar connections. That's the way I see it. Everyone has their own views, and if you don't see the world the way I see it, then okay. I respect that. You don't have to see the world the way I do. But I've always had music, and it has brought me closer to my friends. Music will always stay with me, and I hope it stays with you too.
Good morning. My name is Doug Brown, and it has been my great pleasure and honor to mentor this year an incredibly thoughtful, smart, kind, and highly motivated young man. I introduce to you my mentee, Emerson Dietering.
When I was little, I didn't believe in God. I never prayed before bed, never thanked God for anything, nor asked for anything. Like pretty much every other kid my age, I saw him as a tall, bearded man sitting atop his throne, watching over the good citizens of Earth. But I thought of him more as a fairy tale than an actual being. Today I wonder what made me take that certain view. Lots of my friends when I was around 7 believed in God, and whenever I would go over to their houses and eat dinner, I would be completely confused why they were thanking God for the food on the table before they ate. Didn't they make the food? Was God some kind of chef or something? As I grew older, I began to understand what the stereotypical God was, but my stance on the matter didn't change. A man in the sky who decides your life before you live it? A man in the clouds who punishes you for what he deems is wrong? Impossible. Nonsensical. My view began to change, however, when I started attending my very own father's sermons. He spoke differently about this God. He didn't speak of him as some sort of puppeteer who tugged the strings of your soul, controlling your life with his majestic hands, but as a force of love and good inside everyone and everything. Here's a quote from my dad's sermon entitled, "The God I Don't Believe in and the God I Do." Quote, "If God is love, if God is love given and received between people, then I am prepared to say it. I believe in God." End quote. This is just a part of the force within each of us that my father mentioned during many of his sermons. I grasp onto this idea of this force because I like the sound of it. It meant I had free will. It meant everyone has good inside of them, no matter how deep it is buried in the caverns of the soul. Today, I believe everyone has God inside of them. I believe that is the God inside of us that makes us do kind things. Remember that time you volunteered to help those people in need in New Orleans, or gave someone your seat on the train or bus? That was the God inside of you, shining through the inches of muscle and tissue that make you up. And the people who are not kind, they still have God. It is just shrouded in a blanket of black pain or sorrow, stopping the light from coming out. I do believe that everyone is born good, but it is the events after that decide whether God is hidden under a towel or amplified by a magnifying glass. And I believe it is our responsibility to use the God inside of us to help amplify the God in others. And in this regard, I would like to close by citing what my dad says before every sermon. Have compassion for everyone you meet, even if they don't want it. What seems conceit, bad manners, or cynicism is always a sign of no ears have heard, no eyes have seen. You do not know what wars are going down where the spirit meets the bone. Forget your perfect offering. There is a crack in everything. That is how the light gets in. So maybe God is some kind of chef. Love and compassion are his ingredients, and the final result is a healed heart.
Hi, my name is Jeff Barton, and I am honored to introduce you to Henry Walker, the young man I was able to spend a lot of time talking about some really great stuff. So, Henry.
Hello. My name is Henry Walker, and I believe in unconditional love and family. To me, family is a group of caring individuals, a group that, no matter what, have each other's backs. Family is a team that sticks together, a team that loves each other. That love is the foundation of a family. It is what binds them together. To be truly a family, the love that they share is unconditional. It is a love that doesn't need to be earned. It is and has been there forever. And just as it doesn't have to be earned, we don't have to fear that it will be lost. My family is very supportive, cheering on my wrestling matches and coming to award ceremonies at my school. They love me and are proud of me, whether I'm successful or struggling. The unconditional love that I get from my family gives me strength and lets me push myself to try new things. I know that no matter what, I won't lose their love, and that's powerful. I don't think that I would do as well as I'm doing if it wasn't for the support of my family. Families don't just have to be your immediate family. A family doesn't necessarily mean people who are related to you. You can make families everywhere. A family can be a team and a sport, can be a class in a school, a church congregation. Anywhere there is a close community, there can be family. It may not look like it, but I wrestle for my school. My team practices for 2 hours a day, and we get to know each other better. We support each other, and through the season, we become a wrestling family. We wouldn't be able to win the amount of matches we do if it wasn't for the support of each other. But just like the unconditional love I have from my immediate family, my wrestling family doesn't just support each other when we win. Our love and feeling of brotherhood is there, win or lose. For some people, this feeling of unconditional love and family comes from their belief that God or a higher power created the family. I'm not exactly sure what I believe about that, but I do know that unconditional love exists. I experience it every day, and for me, that's the important part. Not where it comes from, but that it's here, no matter what. I would like to thank my family for their unconditional love for me and for coming today. Happy Mother's Day, and thanks for my moms for being here. And while my sisters and brother had no choice but to be here, I guess I'm glad they are. My great-grandmother, Grandma, and my Aunt Kath also traveled from very far away to be here. Happy Mother's Day to you as well. Also, my cousins Nate and Allie, who are also my godparents, traveled to be here. Thank you. I also especially want to thank Jeff for being my mentor this year, for helping me, and for spending time with me and showing me around your farm and store. I really had fun. You've become part of my family now, too. Thank you.
I'm Tim Roper, and it's been a pleasure and a privilege to work with my mentee this year, and it's a great honor to introduce the deep-thinking and incredibly talented Evan Palmer.
Hello, everyone. While planning this credo, I decided that I'd write about what I believe is right and good for humanity. This is because I think that the human race needs more right and good. All I see is injustice nowadays. I look at a lot of things happening in the world, and I get angry. I think that life should be as fair as we can make it. And I think that the only way to make that happen is if we all work together. I hate how so many of us humans are resistant to help one another. Every day I see poverty and suffering, every day. It's everywhere, and the rich pretend they don't know it. And even through all of this, there are things that inspire me. Life experiences that give me hope for the good of the planet. A short while ago, I attended the City Reach program with people from this very church. The purpose of this trip was to assist the homeless population of the city of Boston, Massachusetts. And for 24 hours, I saw a large group of people all working together with this common goal. People full of empathy, people full of respect, and a longing for justice. These are the values that I believe should shape how we live. Thank you.
So our next speaker, Lydia Austin, grew up calling me Neighbor Becky because I have the privilege to live right up the road from her. And now she is a growing young woman developing her own opinions, and she's going to share with you what's important to her today. This is Lydia Austin.
Religious beliefs. There are infinite meanings to these two words, everyone having a different definition. Curious about religion, I went on my computer and searched religion in the dictionary. It defined religion as the belief in and worship of a superhuman power, controlling power, especially a personal god or gods. Personally, I disagree with this denotation of religion. For me, I would define my religion, my beliefs, my ideals, as more about values like trust, loyalty, friendship, family, love, and happiness. Trust and loyalty go hand in hand. Those who are most loyal can often be trusted. If trust is not present in a relationship, it becomes based on paranoia and suspicion, creating an unhealthy environment. Loyalty is a powerful feeling of allegiance and emotional support. The ones we sense are on our side, who provide us with consolation, who have earned our trust, and we have assurance we can have faith in. All of our relationships are interconnected in a way. I believe there is a certain ladder or stages to our connections with people. The first rung are our acquaintances. People climb higher and higher, becoming friends and eventually family. Family is not defined by blood relations for me. It is instead by the people closest to me and who I love the most. The process of a friend becoming family is when they are loyal, trusted, and create happiness when I am around them. For instance, some of my closest friends I would consider family because I have known them for so long and I'm very close to them, so they are no longer just friends. But family is not just about the joyful times. Family is separate from friends because family is always there, through the good times as well as the bad. Happiness is created by being surrounded by family and friends. Happiness creates a more creative, funny, energetic, and fun-to-be-around personality. This is definitely true in my life. When I am at my happiness, these qualities really come through. In my opinion, achieving happiness is the most important thing in life.
I'm Peter Gormley. I'm standing in for Brian Howland, who had the honor of mentoring our wonderful, young, brilliant young man, Spencer Rausch. We're going to hear his credo now.
I am standing here before you today for no other reason than my lovely parents wanted me to do coming of age. As with most things my parents want me to do, there's no getting out of it, and it was probably for my own good. After a few months of complaining, I gave up and decided I was going to at least try to learn something about myself during this process, and I did. I already knew that my cousins were really close to me because they live really close and there's only five of them. They're more like close friends than family, and I realized they had partially made me who I was. Their strong belief in education motivates me to do well in school and follow in their footsteps. Recently, my older cousin Jason has been accepted at UMass, and he's going there next fall. And while I'm sad that I won't get to see him as often, even though it's in Massachusetts, I'm happy that he can advance in his education, and someday I'll be the one going away. The good news, however, is that I still get to see them in the summertime up in Maine. Anyone who knows me really well will know that I go to a more remote island in Casco Bay, Maine for the summer. And it's a small island with a great community, and it's a huge part of where I grew up. I love the small community there, and I know most of the islanders, and am related by blood or marriage to about 80% of them. I love especially the supportive and constructive aspects of this community, and if I make a mistake, they'll always be saying that it's okay, but they'll also be telling me, you made this mistake, do better next time. And they're always there, whether I want it or not. One especially great person in this community who I really look up to is my Uncle Bob. He's a person with a more relaxed personality and a great sense of humor and this knack for finding the best games for me to play during the summer. He's kind of like the Apple Store. Every year he comes out with something new and better for me to do, and the old stuff kind of goes by, but you can still use it, I guess. And I personally am a fan of strategy games, and my family is not, so I don't get to play them very often, and he's willing to do it. He's willing to buckle down and play with me. And any rainy day or any day I'm down, I can just go see him and he'll make my life better with like a joke or his history. He's got all these stories. And I seem to respect people like that with a more relaxed and humorous personality, and I guess that's why he's one of the most important people in my life. And while my parents struggle to figure out me and who I am, he seems to understand me better than anyone. I guess during this process, I did learn something about myself. I believe in the sport of community and value highly education, and humor is very important. And maybe, just this once, my parents were right.
Good morning again. I'm Penn Young, and I have had the privilege and the honor and the absolute pleasure in being a mentor to Seamus Frawley, and I think you'll see what an extraordinary person he is very shortly. Thank you.
Hello. Okay, first off, I'm not gonna get all spiritual. I'm not a spiritual guy. I don't believe in God. I didn't even mention that in the first draft of my credo because it has very little effect on what I believe. As Penn has proven to me, your beliefs do change. I guess it's an evolving thing based on more experience and who you are with. So I had always thought a lot about what I believed before I went to coming of age, but when I went to coming of age, it made me rethink a lot of what I thought was already facts to me. My values are basically what I believe gets everyone through life the best they can and as happily as they can. The first one would be understanding. I think that the one thing everybody should strive for is to understand as much as possible as they can in life. People don't understand what they judge all the time. I think that is why there is racism, that is why there is war, that is why there is fighting. If people cared more about learning about what they're about to judge rather than just judging it, I think the world would be a much better place. My second value is acceptance. People always want to feel like they're in a community. That's why I love this church. It's all about accepting everybody for who they are and letting everybody discover who they are for themselves. I think that if everybody accepted everyone and there was no us and they, there was just we, everybody would get along. Obviously that's impossible, but you know. I think the world would just work much better. We could accomplish so many better new things. We'd just be a lot happier. My third value is getting the most out of everything. Even if you hate what you're doing, if you can get good experiences or have fun, that's great, but if you just hate what you're doing, at least you can get good character out of it. If you just go into any situation with that attitude, you can probably do much better in life than if you just go into that situation like my sister does. The fourth on my list is feeling secure and having a sense of belonging. I always want to know where I'm going to be, who I'm going to be with, what I'm going to be doing. I think that everybody wants to feel like they belong. They want to feel like they have a family. And they also want to feel like they know who isn't in their family. I think that's basic human nature, unfortunately. So, the last on my list is confidence and satisfaction in what you do. I think that everyone should strive for being satisfied in what they have done with their life. If everybody is satisfied, everybody is happier. If you think you could do something bold, but it's risky, you should do it. Because you'll probably feel worse if you hadn't taken the risk than if you did and it still turned out terribly. Afterwards, you feel more confident and you feel more self-reliant. So why are these my top values? Because I can apply them to everything. I'm kind of a formulative guy. So my core belief is living what you find to be the best possible, most satisfying, and most fulfilling life that you possibly can. My values are the best ways to get there.
Good morning. My name is Nancy Cantor, and our last speaker is going to be Tika Roper.
My favorite quote is one from Sirius Black, a character in J.K. Rowling's Harry Potter series. It reads, "The world isn't split into good people and Death Eaters. We've all got both light and dark inside us. What matters is the part we choose to act on. That's who we really are." While many believe that all people are born evil, damned unless chosen to be saved, I agree with Sirius. We all do things good and bad, but the person we are is defined by what we choose to do and who we choose to be based on our values. When I'm angry, I may see something hurtful, but I also like to help, so I still hold the door for my math teacher. The things that we do that may hurt or help others don't make us good or bad. They make us human. People believe many different things for many different reasons. So what do I believe and what do I value? I believe in being kind, honest, loyal, helpful, and compassionate. I see these things in myself, in my friends, in my family, and in this community. For example, a friend of mine has scoliosis, and she can't carry much more than 5 pounds on her back. A couple of my friends took turns walking her to the bus so she wouldn't have to carry her bag all the way. In addition to that, I believe in working towards a goal. My class did a fundraiser last year, and after putting in a lot of extra effort, I raised $615. But what does this have to do with the God that I believe in? My reality is that God is a proxy for human beings, for the common person. The clearest way that I can explain this is through Roman mythology. You may have heard of an epic hero named Achilles, a legendary soldier with impenetrable skin, his vulnerable heel as his one fatal flaw. Other than this one weakness, Achilles was the perfect hero. He craved greatness and ran into battle willingly. This is my version of a cliche god. But there's another hero, Aeneas, who more clearly represents my belief. Aeneas was a normal person. He had not just one, but many flaws. He did not want to be a hero, but was forced by fate to travel through years of suffering so that he could found the city of Lavinium. My God is like Aeneas, a regular person who was destined to found the universe and later to step aside and become one of the people. And going back to my values, God is the simple things in life that make people happy and compel us to do nice things for one another. For me, that means music. Music makes me happy. And through music, Joan Osborne asks the question, what if God was one of us? My answer is that nothing would change because God is one of us. Thank you.